again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup and Northampton 3! Yeah! Northampton
have got it!
Hello and welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me. This is the preview show. Thank you very much for joining us. We are recording for the very first time, being able to actually see each other. And let me tell you this, it is very disconcerting. It is really, really weird. Anyway, we're here because there is a game on Saturday where Northampton are playing somewhere down south of Northampton. We're not going to mention who it is. And the reason why we're all here is because we thought it'd be quite nice to go and have a little chat about the game that happened on Tuesday night away at Ipswich. We've all got nice little points of view, some different from others, which is really good. So let's just meet the crew. We're all here, as I did say. So we've got Jeffy's here. Say hi, Jeffy.
Just waved.
Just waved because she's...
I just waved, sorry.
We're all going home. Brilliant. Danny's here.
I'm waving.
And Jedi Neil is also here. Yes, he's waved too. Brilliant. Thanks, Neil. Nobody else could see us, but here we all are. This is fabulous. So, we all watched the game on Tuesday night. No, Danny didn't. Danny had... did you even get to hear it? I can't remember, Danny.
I listened to the second half because... two out of the three children were playing up, and it was a 7:45 kickoff. So by the time I got into bed, then there was no point.
Was Isaac one of the kids that was he the behaving?
No, he was all right actually.
Yeah, good. So he was the one behaving. Fabulous.
Yeah. Ten Jeffy studying points to Isaac.
Well done, Isaac.
Absolutely, Jeffy. You watched the game?
Yeah, I did. It was again indifferent, but I think it was counterbalanced by the fact that we'd lost the two previously. On paper, it seems like a really good point, right? And looking from the outside in, it looks like a really good point to take away from home against a team that are significantly better than us. They weren't on the night, but on paper, that's what it looks like. But when you kind of analyse it a bit more, it's kind of rubbish and it doesn't do us any good because of what had happened to the two games previously, which is a real shame because actually we did play well. And what I liked is that we competed for 90 minutes, which is a bit of a rarity. I mean, I say competed loosely because, okay, it wasn't to the highest standard, but at least it was there. At least it was consistent. I was a bit more positive about it. And I liked John Brady's attitude towards it. I thought it was okay.
Okay. Brilliant. I mean, I'll be honest, that first half I thought was really, really good. And just like what had really happened in the game against Burton on Saturday, the second half, I think maybe it was just too much. The intensity was too much for the players to keep going with. And obviously, there was a reaction from Ipswich, even though they were still dreadful. But they did, obviously, they must have had a bit of a kick up the backside at half time. And they, when they came out in the second half, they stopped us from playing as much, I thought, as we'd been allowed to do in the first half. But the one thing that I will say is that it's really, really good to see the players trying to pass the ball around and trying out different ways of, you know, going forward and trying to attack. It's that whole thing, isn't it, where before it was a simple case of we're just going to punt it up the other end of the field and hope that it sticks. And of course, it very rarely did this season. Whereas now there's much more, you know, kind of we'll move the opposition around and we'll try to go down the left, we'll try to go down the right. And yes, there are still times when we do still find it. I think Lloyd Jones a couple of times went long from the back, but it wasn't like it was a bad, you know, decision. It was because it wasn't every single time that the defence got the ball that we went forward. It actually seemed to work. The problem is that we still can't score.
It's become quite good fun now, though, hasn't it?
Well, the games, watching it.
Not necessarily the games. No, the games still aren't a huge amount of fun, let's be honest, but not scoring. I'm quite proud of it now. And I'm getting to the point where I want us to keep it going.
You sat there with an abacus counting.
Yeah, I'm like, come on, let's, like, the next big milestone, I think, is Saturday. If we don't score on Saturday, we equal the club record of 7 straight games without scoring. And then if we equal that, then my next milestone I want us to get is double digits. So can we make it to 10 games? And then if we make it that far, really, the world is our oyster, right?
I mean, we're down. We are relegated.
I think we kind of expect that anyway, right? So,
fair enough.
If we're going to do it, we got promoted, didn't we, under Wilder by breaking records. Let's get relegated. Oh.
But I was going to say, I think we scored quite a few under Wilder.
Yeah, like, you know, it was the opposite. So
it's that whole thing, though, isn't it? Of just like, you are right. There is an element of this is quite fun now. You know, where we went. You remember we were all singing 31-31 undefeated. Yeah. I mean, if we get to 7, then at least that kind of fits the narrative, doesn't it? 7-7 unscored.
If you're going to do it properly, right? If you're going to go on that sort of run, then do it properly, get a record, and then finish it by spanking someone 8-0 or something.
Oh, dear.
It'd be more fun if we were bottom of the league and just 30 points adrift.
Yeah. I mean,
like, if we were completely doomed, then... We, you know, you could say we are already, but if we were completely doomed, it'd be a little bit more fun because we just laugh along with it. But because we've got a little bit of a chance,
yeah, I see your
not
point.
As fun
maybe
me.
I've, I know maybe
I'm
sorry I've
to
gone.
Take away your fun.
No, but... don't worry, my fun will still be there. I've probably written it off already too early in my head.
I want to use our goal gifts. We've used them once. With that's great idea of making goal gifts. One for each of us. I think we used Charles's one, didn't we? For one goal, wherever it was, mine. Last time we scored. And I've had them out every time, every game, like ready to stick on the twits.
How about the goal gifts?
That too, yeah. Well, there's a lot of things that will be out when we next score, I think.
Danny, don't forget that we can see each other on this. So don't get anything out, thanks.
It's going to be a bloody consolation at the end of a 4-0 defeat or 4-1 defeat, isn't it?
A bit like the last time that we actually got to use it. It was a consolation at the end of the Lincoln match. No one was really expecting it, and then all of a sudden, bam!
That was it, wasn't it? It was the Danny Rose one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Could I point out something that while the football is undoubtedly more enjoyable to watch under Brady at the moment, and certainly first half against Ipswich was pretty impressive. Second half, I thought we reverted to type a little bit and were pretty poor again, albeit without being particularly troubled by Ipswich, but actually the end result has been the same so far, hasn't it? And I'm a bit cautious that people are getting a bit carried away by, because we're suddenly playing a slightly nicer brand of football and stuff, and they're letting it cloud their judgment. We still haven't scored. We haven't won. Yeah, we've picked up a point, but ultimately if we'd had Curl in charge, maybe we'd have picked up a point on Saturday against Wigan and lost to Ipswich, so we'd have been in the same boat. So I just think there's a lot of clamour at the moment, and this is kind of what happened when Dean Austin took over. Suddenly he was playing a nice, attractive brand of football, and it was completely different, and everyone loved it. Actually, he wasn't a very good manager. I'm not saying that's John Brady, I'm not saying that's the way it'll go, but I think there's a bit of calm needed.
Do you not think, though, that regardless of whether or not he does the job to keep us up, i.e. we start winning multiple games, do you not think that maybe just the fact that the brand of football has changed will appease the majority of the fan base?
It won't appease me.
Okay.
And I speak for the majority, Charles, so no.
I think we're in a more perilous position than that, though, aren't we?
Yeah, but I think, like we said, like Neil's already written the season off, hasn't he? So, I mean, if others have done that, then...
I don't think that many people have written it off yet.
Is it just Neil? I thought Neil spoke for the fan base. That's what he just said.
I speak for the fan base of Neil.
Fan ownership, Neil's in charge.
Oh, can you imagine the chaos that would bring? It'd be almost as bad if it was... No, you can't
Kelvin
say it.
Kelvin and Neil.
You can't
Kelvin
say it.
Kelvin and Neil.
You can't say
Kelvin
that.
And Neil. Kelvin and Neil.
The dream team.
Oh, dear. Sorry, Jeffy. I mean, do you think that maybe it is pretty football, but at the end of the day, that doesn't really matter unless you're getting results?
I think it means we're slightly more rational. I kind of class myself as one of those fans that is fairly realistic about Northampton Town, because I've been there and done that so many times and seen us relegated enough times to know when it's good and when it's bad. It's by no means good at the moment, but if you had to put your measured hat on and kind of look at it from a point of view as, right, what situation are we in and what do we need to do, then I genuinely believe that as soon as we score, the shackles will be off and we will be okay. The trouble is, I think, is that is going to appease a certain amount of fans, but the longer you go without that goal, a bit like Neil was saying, I know he was laughing about it and saying, you know, 10 games or whatever, but if it starts to creep up, then you're going to start running out of time. And I think Danny made a really good point last week in saying that we've got Peterborough on the 6th of April or something ridiculous, and there's only 6 games or something after that. And that is going to creep up really quickly. So we're almost running out of games to prove that point and to prove that style of play. I don't think we're in an urgent situation at the moment, but I also don't think we've got a great deal of time on our hands.
Yeah, it is that thing, isn't it? I mean, there's still the majority of the second half of the season still to play. But you're right. If it takes us something like 6 games to, you know, basically find a rhythm, so to speak, then that is going to be too little too late at the end of the day, isn't it? I mean, the one thing that I will say, though, is that I am liking the fact that we are trying, it seems. I know, Danny, you're liking the fact that what Brady is trying to do is quite clear and that you can see it and that you can... You also, when you listen to what he's saying, you know, post-match and any other interviews that he does, there's no kind of... Well, there's no bullshit, is there? He's pretty transparent with what he's saying.
Yeah, he thinks everything out as well, doesn't he? Like, before he answers, he tends to have a bit of a think and... to consider everything and just says things in such a clear way that we can understand rather than just talking in riddles. Like, we could predict half of Keith Cole's team, not team talks, interviews from what he said. Mm. You know, and it again comes back to, is it because he's caretaker and he can just kind of run free a little bit or what? But I don't think it is. I think it's just more the way he's been brought up in football, that he's more of a kind of coach manager, if that makes any sense. That he sees a lot of the tactical stuff and a lot of that kind of thing. That it just makes his interviews a lot more clearer, and it makes me warm to him a lot more than it did to Curl early on. But I think I disagree with, I can't remember which one of you was saying it. I do think it's an urgent situation. I think we need to get it sorted quickly, because if we don't, then, you know, there's going to be no time left to stay up. And any new manager who comes in is going to get the same. So it's a really tricky situation, because you either stick with Brady and carry on that, or someone completely and utterly new comes in and we start again and we say, oh, well, this one needs 5 or 6 games again. And then it's too late. So it's a really weird, oddly odd position.
I agree with Danny. But before I go back to that point, ever since you said rhythm, Charles, I can't get feel the rhythm, feel the ride.
Nor can I.
Cool runnings.
It's been going around and around in my head while Danny and Jeffrey were making their well balanced points, and I've not taken much of it in because I've had that in my head. So sorry.
Feel the rhythm, feel the ride.
It's a bit with the egg that makes me howl.
Yeah. Yeah. Zanka, you're dead. Yeah, man. but I do agree with Danny, actually. I think there is an urgent need. It's, you know, time's ticking. There's already been 2 games since the change. Wait another couple of weeks. The way the games are coming thick and fast, that's going to be another 4 or 5 games down the line. And I think Danny's absolutely right. I think there's a need for urgency, and I'd want to see something. Obviously, I doubt anything's going to happen before Saturday. Before Saturday. But I'd like to think post that, before, you know, I hopefully by next Tuesday, either give it to Brady, let's make the call, because he's doing some good stuff. Look, I know I said that the results and the output is the same, and it is. There's no denying that. You know, we've not scored and we've lost 1 and drawn 1. The results still aren't great, but you can definitely see a change. You can see what he's trying to do, and he's trying to get them to play with more freedom. I like his honesty post-match. And I like the cut of his jib, shall we say.
I enjoy his mix of Northampton and Australian accent.
See, I don't. It's it confuses my head.
It's so good.
I think there's a need to make a decision. I think we haven't got time We're not in a situation where we can go out and canvass across the leagues and across the boards, do weeks and weeks of interviews and all that sort of stuff to try and find the right man. If it was summer, yeah, we could probably do that, but we can't do that at the moment. So we need to do something.
I also think as well that his bold statements as such in terms of things like team selection and style of play may well define him slightly. And I'm slightly concerned as to what is going to happen and unfold on Saturday around the team sheet and whether we take a step back again, because it was significantly more positive defensively yesterday as we're talking. So
what are you saying, Jeffy?
I think we all know what you're saying.
Come on, what are you saying? Come on,
Jeffy. Basically,
we know what you mean.
If he plays Bolger on Saturday, that's it. Game done. Game
Jeffy's
over.
Jeffy's going to be furious. There'll be a tractor flying up the M6 or whatever. No, not the M6. The M42, whatever road it is.
Do you know, though, whatever, you are right. In his interview afterwards when he was asked about Bolger, and, you know, he wasn't, it was the most politician style answer that he gave to any of the questions, wasn't it? I mean, he needs a refresh and a reset. I mean, that is essentially, he's saying, I'm dropping him and I'm leaving him out to get his head straight without saying I've dropped him.
But
I think that's fair enough, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's fair. But I also do think that it will be a massive disappointment and a massive back step if we then put him straight back in on Saturday and make the same mistakes we've made all season. Like, he's dropped him for a reason. There needs to be a continuation of that.
I don't think he'll come back in, by the way. I think the performance actually from Horsfall and Jones was good enough to warrant them keeping their place. And actually, I think giving Mills the captaincy seemed to, I don't know, it just seemed to give him a bit of an extra edge. I thought it was one of his better performances for us.
He was communicating. You could really see him talking to people, especially when we conceded that free kick. He was really screaming at, I think it was Hoskins, actually, for being out of position or something. But yeah, he was really commanded it well. And you could see the communication. So much better, so refreshing to see. And obviously, for whatever reason, Bolger's head's not in the game, and that's fine. Go and get it right, like he said. Go and get it sorted and get a reset, like John Brady said, in so much a way, and just try and get back to what he should be, because we haven't seen it. And it is a shame, because he has the potential to be a good... I mean, he's a giant of a bloke. He should be absolutely commanding that penalty area. And he doesn't. And it's such a shame that we haven't seen that. So hopefully, fingers crossed for him, on a personal note, he can go and get that sorted. But I think, like you said, Neil, that defence looked solid. And Jones in particular was very impressive, I think.
I think the fixture on Saturday isn't a good one to throw him back into either, is it?
Oh, no, he'll get sent off, wouldn't he, if we throw him back in? He's down. He'll do a ridiculous challenge somewhere. Yeah, he should be kept away from the team for the moment.
I don't think that he should come back in, personally, because I think...
Because he's crap?
Well, there is that. But the performance of those that did play was good enough to keep him out of the team.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, at the very least, you can always turn around and go, well, I'm naming an unchanged team, or at least an unchanged back four, or whatever it was, because of how well, you know, we played on the Tuesday night. So they're all... back in based on that performance. I don't think you should be going and chopping around. I think that's one of the things that we all always had a bit of an issue with, was that we never had a settled side under Keith Curl. He always wanted to tinker with it in some way, shape or form. And okay, sometimes that was because of an injury or a suspension or something, but it was never just that one. So like if Sean McWilliams got suspended, he wouldn't just replace Sean McWilliams with, I don't know, Sowerby or Watson. He'd also change the front man, and he'd make a change at the back just for the sake of it almost. And we never really quite understood, or never really thought that he knew his first 11. Whereas I think Brady is learning quite quickly who he's got. I mean, look, he's played Marshall straight away for the first two games of his reign, and Marshall has looked a threat. I don't quite see Marshall in the same light, I don't think, as what John Brady does. I mean, John Brady seems to bloody love him, doesn't he?
He's a worker, isn't he?
He is, but...
He's creative, isn't he?
Yeah.
For me, the ball just keeps getting under his feet.
Maybe that's...
He's got a good cross on him, isn't he?
Maybe that... Yeah, he has got a great cross on him. And actually, the beauty of him as well, he's a bit like... Oh, he's not the same as Chris Hackett in style. But do you remember... But do you remember Chris Hackett when he didn't necessarily... He got to the point where he didn't actually have to beat his man to get a cross in. A bit like David Beckham. He was like that. He wasn't...
Compare Chris Hackett to David Beckham.
I did, in a way. But,
bloody hell. Sam Aston will be next.
Sam Aston, great hair. What I mean...
Yeah, it was
what I mean
great
by
hair, it, wasn't it?
It was great hair. Thanks, Jeffrey. I don't know why I'm thanking you. It wasn't my hair. But what I mean by it is you get certain sort of wide players that don't actually need to beat their man to get a good cross in. And he's a bit like that, I think. But also he can beat his man. But he doesn't need to get a cross in.
Can I also point out as well, on that point, Neil... As well, Marshall, unlike some, will run himself down to our penalty area and hope to cross it. If he fails to cross it, 9 times out of 10, it's staying within our area. He's got enough to either cross it or it goes out for a throw-in, as opposed to being lumped up the other end and then us being caught on the break and put under pressure. I think that's the big difference, isn't it? Because we're not then constantly, it's not like hoofball where you're constantly under pressure. And as soon as you get it at your end, then you're under pressure at the other end because they've launched it because you've not crossed it, nor have you put it out for a throw-in. So he's got that physical presence and that awareness on the ball, isn't he?
Yeah, it's the fact that you are right. It tends to stick up that end of the pitch, and that's you know when Marshall has the ball. I mean, like I said on Tuesday's pod, I'd love to see Miller come in on the other side. And
instead of Sam Hoskins?
Instead of Hoskins.
Yeah, exactly.
Hoskins is frustrating me so much. And I... It's not.
He's clearing his throat, ready to launch the defence.
Just like that, going. I'm looking at it and I'm just going to myself, there's so many times when he just loses the ball, doesn't take it with him sometimes, and doesn't do anything with it, runs into a cul-de-sac. And I know that there's going to be people out there going, well, he's always done that and you've always defended him. And I think that he's right, is that I've always sort of said, no, there's a player in there, and if he was consistent, then obviously he'd be playing at a much higher level than with the Cobblers. But I think, what's it now been? 5 years of him being at the club, if not six? And he's been playing regularly for, what, the last three? And it's still not good enough. I mean, he'll have the odd shot that is really, really good, or he'll do the odd thing that's great. The thing last night, I can't remember exactly when it was, but didn't I say put something in there in the Slack group about, oh, Hoskins, and then he did something really, really quite good 2 seconds later after I'd posted it. It was a pass out wide or something.
The thing is with Hoskins is that he is almost the creator of his own downfall in the fact that I think he's having a bit of the Nicky Adams effect. Now, we all love Nicky Adams, and I think we always will for what he's done for our club. But, you know, he's moved on and he's gone down to League Two. And I wonder whether that's the route that Sam Hoskins kind of needs to take as well, because I think he's getting found out a lot at League One because it's a step up. And like you said, you know, he does often run into a cul-de-sac, and that's fine. When you're playing in League Two and then you can win the ball back and you've got a bit more time. In League One, you just simply don't have that. And I think he's a victim of his own downfall in the way that he's not consistent enough for this league. It doesn't mean he's a bad player, because he's not. He's a good player. But I think it's a step too far at this point in his career, possibly.
What I think very, very quickly on Hoskins is that I think he must be one hell of a trainer, because he's getting in all the teams. So every manager picks him. And I feel like he would be amazing in training and picking up the ball and doing stuff with it without that pressure cooker of the game environment. I think when he's under a little bit of pressure and there's a game, he sometimes thinks too much and wants to do too much. That sometimes he'll probably be doing that sort of stuff in training and working so hard and making the managers pick him. But when it comes to that big environment, like, all of his best goals have been when he hasn't thought about it. When he just does that flick at Tranmere. One of
the, oh, yeah. What a goal.
Where he doesn't really have to think. And to get to the next level, you have to kind of put the game side of it behind you and perform every week. And he's just not doing that. And Miller's clearly a potential replacement for him. It would be interesting to see if he does lose his streak of starting games.
I think part of the problem with him as well is when Sam Hoskins is playing in a team that played the style that Keith Curl's team played, then his shortcomings are not quite as apparent because they're never needed, if that makes sense. Whereas in the style we're now playing under John Brady, it is more passing and it is more sort of creative and more free and open. Therefore, it shines a light more on his shortcomings. Which, you know, that's just he is a limited player to a point, isn't he? And we know that he for a League One team, he shouldn't be a starter. He should be on the bench. So hopefully that's what happens.
Name it.
Let's go back to Brady for a second. He's obviously going to be in charge of the game on Saturday, I believe.
Is he? Famous last words, Charles.
Cue announcement tomorrow morning.
Cue announcement, yeah, that's it, isn't it? But
emergency pod.
I don't think that I know that both Danny and I share the same opinion, which is I think give it to him on the short to medium term basis and maybe give it to him and say, right, you are interim manager. So don't give him the title of first team manager, but just say to him, you've got the job until the end of the season and take your time to find a manager to then appoint at the end of the season so that that manager then comes in at that point. Maybe I'm putting words into your mouth, Danny, but that's what I think I would do at this moment in time, because I can see improvement happening. And as John Brady said in his interview after the game on Tuesday, the goals will come. You can see there's a lot more, and I'll use the words that were used by, first of all, John Brady, but also were used in Kioso's video highlight reel when he joined the club. Final third entries. There's a lot more of those going on at the moment.
Oh, he hit the post, didn't he, old Kioso? That would have been magical.
It was a save. Have you seen it?
Yeah, he pushed it onto it, didn't he?
Absolutely amazing save.
He's got a score.
He will do, I think. And I think that might be the catalyst, is that Kioso's probably the most likely to put the ball in the net first, and then who knows what will happen after that. But anyway, I think that's what myself and Danny would maybe think about. But I know that, Neil, you disagree, don't you? You wouldn't let Brady have another game in charge, I don't think.
No, I would.
You would?
If he's permanent manager.
Right, okay.
So I'm of the opinion. So I don't like this less. What I don't like is uncertainty in life and in general. but what I don't like in this situation is, let's give it someone till the end of the summer and see where we go there. No, look, they're either your man or they're not your man, in my opinion. And in this instance, it's not for us to make that decision. Obviously, it's down to Kelvin Thomas and stuff. But I think if Brady's your man, Brady's your man. He's in charge, right? He's then next permanent manager. You don't call him interim manager or any of this nonsense you were talking about, Charles. He's your next permanent manager, and he's got a 2-year contract or a 1-year rolling deal, whatever, however you work it. If he's not the man and you've got questions over him, you go out and get your man. He's your manager. Next 2 years, this is what we're doing. He's going to build us. That's the next step. That's what I want to see. What I don't want to see is some
person.
No, what?
Dog.
I'll take a dog. Yeah, I'll take a dog in charge. Do you remember the kids' program, Woof?
Oh, yeah. Woof. Yes.
How about Ruffle Slade?
No. Get out, Danny.
I thought you were going to mention Hey Dougie. I bet he's got his football manager badge.
I just think there's a point that I don't like this. Well, we'll give them a few more games, see if they get a couple of results. We'll give them a few more games. We'll give them to the end of the season, see how they do there, you know. Where do you go from there? What happens if they take us down? But the performances are okay, but we still get relegated. What do you do then? And like, I don't like that. I just think either Brady and the crew, they're the men. That's fine. They've shown and displayed that they can get us playing, you know, a nicer brand of football. Either back them and get behind them and say, yep, they're our guys. We've looked out there. We don't think there's anyone better. They're going to be our guys. This is who we're going to stick with. They're going to be the lifeblood of the club over the next 2 to 5 years or however long it may be. let's rock it.
Six months, no one else.
Well, yeah, exactly. Or, no, actually, we Matt Gray, who I know he's been linked to us from Sutton, he's the man that we think is going to do the job for us moving forward, help us stay in League One, and is going to build this football club forward. I just want some form of definitive one way or the other, because then it's easier to kind of understand what's going on and back it. I don't like the uncertainty. I don't understand it. I don't. And to Danny's point earlier, we haven't got time.
Yeah, but wouldn't we? So the way that I'm sort of thinking of it is that I'm saying, right, you give that certainty of it until the end of the season. By you're saying they are our management team until the end of the season. And at that point, then we will then be actually looking at announcing a permanent manager. Now, it may well turn out that it ends up being Brady at that point if he applies for it. But that's the point where you actually look at it. I'm just going to look at a different model and to look at a different way of doing things. In rugby league, what happens an awful lot is that managers will announce. So, for example, today, the Warrington Wolves manager or head coach, whatever he is, Steve Price, has announced that at the end of the 2021 season, which starts next month, I think, he won't be renewing his contract and he'll be going back to Australia with his family. So, therefore, he said there will be a new coach for next season, 2022. There's basically a year-long window now for the club to go out and get the next manager in and to find the person that's going to take them forward. I'm not suggesting we have a whole year of it. I'm saying from now until the end of the season, that would give us a window of opportunity to go and find the very best person that would actually work for this football club and will then take us forward. Give John Brady the chance to, yeah, okay, fine, we might get relegated, but give him the chance to try and keep us up, playing in a certain, not necessarily playing in a certain way, but finding this identity. And then what we do is we then go and find a manager that will improve us further with that identity. Because I'm worried that you bring anyone in. Matt Gray, as you mentioned, I think if you bring him in, I think there's less chance that we're going to stay up than there is with keeping Brady at the helm.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think you're wrong in that respect, by the way. I'm not saying that we should bring Matt Gray in. It was just a name I plucked out because I know he's been linked.
I think anybody, though, if you bring anybody in, they've got to take time to actually get to know the players and get to know, you know, the setup.
Why?
Whereas Brady doesn't.
Why?
Because he's here already.
Look at Steve Cottrell.
He's just come out of hospital today. Happy days for
him. Is it Steve Cottrell? Is he the one I mean?
Shrewsbury manager.
Who went somewhere and had an instant... It was him.
Yeah, it was. Yes, yeah. Shrewsbury.
Yeah. He had a. Yeah, okay, yeah. But you can turn around. You can name plenty of managers that have come to the Cobblers and haven't had instant success.
You can. You can turn around and name loads and loads of managers who've been caretaker, done a decent-ish job as caretaker manager, and then flopped as a permanent manager.
Yeah, I'm not saying make him permanent, though, am I? I'm saying you.
No,
you
you're saying
carry on the
saying,
way we are.
You're saying
the end
kick
of
the
season.
Can down the road.
Yeah, basically. Yeah,
because you can't make a decision.
Give us time.
It
gives you more time to make that decision. Surely, the longer that you've got, the more informed and well informed that you can be.
But why would you wait? I don't understand why would we put it off until the summer? Why would we not just do that now?
But they're doing that now, aren't they? Isn't the recruitment process sort of going on at the moment? I mean, that's what you can do, is you can hire somebody and say, like you could change jobs, Neil. I know you don't want to. It's just the rest
no,
of
I don't,
the team.
Just in case they're listening.
well, they're not going to be there anyway, mate. They've all had promotions.
Yeah, good point, yeah.
But I mean, if you go and get a new job, then 9 times out of 10, you won't start that job for at least 2 to 3 weeks. First of all, you'll have to see out a period, you know, at the place that you're at the moment in the job.
Yeah, but this is football. That's not the same, is it?
Yeah, but why isn't it the same? I hate this whole thing of where football is treated completely and utterly different to any other industry.
But it is.
At the end of the day, at the end of the day, you could quite easily go and do interview process and say you're going to start on the 1st of June.
Why would they do that though? Why wouldn't they just do like? I don't understand that. I get what you're saying. I'm not being totally like naive, but I don't understand why you'd do that. Why, if you're saying we're going to go and recruit someone, we're going to find someone, it's not going to be Brady. Why wouldn't you just do that now? Why would you
I can kind of see what Neil's saying in that sense, because it's to the players as well. What message is that sending to the players?
Yeah,
in terms of, you know, you're going to be here to the end of the season, we're not sure if you're going to get it or not. Do they then feel pressure of, oh, we've got to win, we've got to stay up to save his job, rather than anything else? It's such a fine line to, it's such a fine line to tread, I think.
It's a gamble, isn't it? Either way. So on one flip of the coin, you've got, right, keep Brady in charge till the end of the season with the idea that possibly we'll go down, maybe more likely than having a permanent manager come in. And then you get a really decent manager, someone like Chris Wilder, that who, yes, he'd done an amazing job at the non-league and done an amazing job at Oxford, but generally speaking, he didn't have a lot of experience in the league, right? And did an incredible job. But on the flip side of the coin, you've also got, if you bought someone in permanently, then what if you don't make that right call? So there's two sides to this. There's two sides to every argument, but in this instance, it's very black and white, isn't it? Because you've literally got the gamble whether you stay in the league or not, or whether the manager's right or wrong. And there's literally no way, there's no right or wrong in it. That you can't, there's no right or wrong, because you don't know what's going to happen. Like, we sat here years ago, we weren't even podding at this point, saying Gary Johnson's going to be amazing. Look how that ended, you know? And it's like, you can't predict what is going to happen. It is just a gamble that sometimes you have to take, and sometimes it's the wrong one.
You're right. You can't predict what's going to happen. And it is absolutely, I think any managerial appointment is pretty much a gamble. There is an element of having convictions with your decisions, I think, and an element of essentially what I think I'm saying and what I'd like to see is whoever it is that is the next permanent Cobblers manager, could be John Brady, could be someone else, I'd want to see the football club back them and say, this is our manager. You know, if we go down this year, we go down this season. We don't want to go down, obviously, but if we do, that's not going to change anything. They're still our manager. They're here for the longer term. And start to build a bit of to use a word that is thrown about in NFL a lot, dynasty. And it's not something we have, really. We flit around from manager to manager and that sort of stuff. And we change around here or there and stuff. And I'd like us to start building and properly building. And the only way we're going to do that is by fully backing someone. And it's that thing, isn't it? We were never going to be able to fully back Keith Curl because he came in as a firefighter. And I think the style was not really a dynasty you want to build, is it? So
I think that's actually the point, because straight away, as soon as you say that, I do start thinking, well, hang on a minute, we've just sacked a manager that you could say, the first manager that actually did receive the backing from Kelvin Thomas, because he lasted more than 5 weeks.
But also, as well, on top of that, though, I think Keith Curl might have been the creator of his own downfall in doing things a bit too quickly. Do you see what I mean? So I don't think anyone was expecting us to go up last season, and maybe an extra season in hindsight in League Two probably would have put us in a more secure position for League One. But like we said 5 minutes ago, that is a gamble that you have to take, and sometimes it's not the right one. You know, like Neil said, Keith was a firefighter. Yeah, he absolutely was. And I think generally, probably in Kelvin's plans and the board's plans, okay, firefight, done that job, steady the ship, then let's go for promotion. But it went firefight, promotion. So there was no bit in the middle to break it down a little bit. And I wonder whether that played a part. But again, this is like devil's advocate all the time, isn't it? We could sit and we could discuss it for hours.
Yeah, it's really hard, isn't it? Really hard. It's so easy in hindsight as well to say the sort of stuff that I'm saying and that we're saying, isn't it? It's such a difficult situation.
Okay. Well, look, this is the preview show. So let's look ahead to the game on Saturday. What would you guys like to see? Would you like to see, Danny, the same team start as did against Ipswich?
Firstly, I'd like to see the stadium being burnt to the crisp.
The crisp?
To a crisp.
The crisp?
Not to the crisp. The monster crisp. Munch. Burnt to the shape and the feel of a monster munch. No, I think potentially Watson in, because I thought he did well on Saturday, and I thought he was a bit unlucky to miss out yesterday.
Where would you put him? Who would you replace him with?
I'd stick him in the number 10 role, where I think Sowerby was. I think Sowerby sounds like he did pretty well. I quite like his attitude in terms of shooting.
Like, yeah, one of them's going to go in eventually.
He likes a little edge of the area shot.
Yeah, he doesn't care. He'd rather have a go and it not go in than just fart about with it, wouldn't he? I like that about him.
He just seems to be a bit more free under that system as well. So
it was interesting because on Saturday, Sean McWilliams played in the 10, or at least started there, I think. Then against Ipswich, it was Sowerby, and John Brady noted after the game that he basically didn't seem like he was confident enough to take the ball on his left foot. I'm presuming he's a predominantly right-footed player, Sowerby, and basically what Brady was saying was that he needs to have the confidence just to whack it with his left.
He might
need to work on that. So I am with you. Watson has he come on as a sub in both of the last two games?
He started on Saturday. Yeah, I thought he played pretty well.
Well, so did I. So you're saying, though, that you would move his position and put him in the number 10 role?
That's pretty much where he played, wasn't it, in the first game?
I thought McWilliams played there.
No.
McWilliams was bursting into that position, but I think
Watson was further forward.
Watto, as Brady calls him. That's the only reason I want him to play, just because it's just the same.
I thought Jim Brady was here for a moment there. That's brilliant.
Jim Brady?
Jim Brady, John's brother.
Love it. So that's the change you probably make is do that. And anything for you guys? Well,
Miller was playing as well for Hoskins, if he's fit.
Yeah, Miller for Hoskins, and I think Danny's right. I'd probably have Watto over over Sowerby. I think Sowerby struggled a little bit on Tuesday. He did get in some good positions, but he then seemed to completely lose his mind and be not sure what to do. And also, there was times when I thought it looked like he was running, but he seemed to be going backwards. He was going that slow at times.
I'd like, in an ideal world, I'd
Bulge
like
you back in.
In an ideal world, I'd kind of like it to stay the same for consistency, because I think that would really help. But the more ambitious Cobblers fan in me would really like to see Arnold back in goal.
Oh, good shout.
Yeah, absolutely. And nothing particularly wrong with Mitchell. I actually think he's probably lacking a bit of confidence because of what's gone on in defence. I think a period of time away from it, and Arnold being slightly more experienced and slightly more stature, should I say, in goal would probably help us. And also possibly Watson starting, but again, don't fix something that ain't broke. I know it's broke in terms of the results, but in terms of performance, it was okay. So I think whether we just keep going, but I would be an advocate for getting Arnold in. He really needs to be in that goal just for some experience and calm.
Play them both.
Yeah, put them both on the line. Cheerleader style. I personally don't think he'll do anything with the defence, including the goalkeeper. We've kept a clean sheet. Yes, there was that ridiculous mistake on Saturday that you've got to lay some of the blame at Mitchell's door for.
Oh, absolutely.
But he then redeemed himself on Tuesday, got a clean sheet. So I what message does it send to a young goalkeeper that he's now being... That was part of the issue that I always had with Curl, swapping goalkeepers every so often. It was like, you know, it was almost like he was going, no, don't trust you anymore. Get the other one back in. Oh, the other one made a complete screw up, so the other one's going back in. The one that I dropped and don't actually trust anymore, he's back in. I don't like that. And like you, Neil, I want to have a number one keeper, not two number twos that keep getting swapped.
Yeah, I agree totally. I just think number one should be Arnold.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, that's absolutely fine. I mean, I just don't see it happening, and I don't think he should make a change to the defence. The only change that I would make, actually, personally, for Saturday would be if Miller is fit, bring him in for Hoskins. But what I can see happening is that Miller will come in, Hoskins will go to the number 10 role, and somebody else will get dropped. So Sowerby will be dropped.
Yeah, possibly.
Because Hoskins will still start no matter what. it seems. The other thing, actually, before we go to some predictions for the game, very, very quickly, I want to know what you made of John Brady's comments regarding the pitch. Danny, we'll start with you. I mean, did it feel to you like it was a little bit of, I was going to say backhanded compliment, but that's not at all the right saying. It felt like the sly digs maybe towards what had happened over the last 6 months under Curl?
No, not necessarily. I think he's just trying to big up Paul Knowles in a lot of ways. It sounds like he's known him for a good 20 years. It seems like it's more of a try and big him up rather than a dig at anyone else. But that's just me. I'm a weakling, Charles. I see the positives and stuff. So you know that about me already.
What were the comments, by the way?
He's basically said that he was asked about the pitch. What he said was that at Ipswich, he made comment of how good the pitch was. And he said, you know, that the pitch enabled the team to play the way that they did. And he then made reference to, you know, Paul Knowles getting our pitch at Sixfields up to that sort of standard and said how wonderful of a groundsman he is, et cetera, and that he's under no doubt that he will get that pitch up to scratch now. Yeah, he was then asked a couple more questions about that, to which his response was just basically to say that he's known Paul Knowles for about 20 years or so, and he's the best groundsman that he's ever come across in the game. And then he refused to mention the fact that he used to play for Russian and Diamonds, which I guess
that was good. I enjoyed that. Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. He was like, no, I can't mention that, and I'm not going to. He just called them another team, which was nice. But yeah, no, it felt to me almost as if, and don't get me wrong, you know, we haven't been, you know, shy of turning around and saying, well, the pitch is rubbish. But we've also been fairly understanding, or at least we've taken what has been told to us by the club at face value as to the reasons why the pitch has been used as a training pitch as well as a match day pitch. But clearly that's not the case anymore, and it doesn't have to be. So I just wonder whether it was a bit of a dig, or maybe not a dig, but it was just a bit more of like, you know, we'll get this style by playing on decent pitches. We won't necessarily be able to do that at home.
Well, there's been a couple of digs, I think, actually, towards Keith Curl.
By John Brady, because I find that quite, I don't know, I find that quite funny. I in a bad way. I don't like it. If it's
no,
true.
Well, it's just how I perceive a comment. But he said, didn't he, that they've essentially not been allowed to think, basically, for the last however many years, and he's trying to get that out of them.
Stretch their mind.
That was it. Yeah, they need to stretch their minds and stuff. And that, in my mind anyway, I view that as he's not having necessarily a direct dig and saying, well, Keith Curl was a knobhead or anything like that. But he's essentially saying that they were very limited in what was being asked of them. And we could all see that anyway, right, from the style. Mm-hmm. So it's not exactly a surprise or anything. It's just a fact. And then if you're suggesting that he's having a dig in terms of the ground, and you're saying that he is sort of offering Keith Curl out, then there you go.
I don't think he'll be doing a Drysdale.
don't have a dig at the ground anymore. Come on. Bad enough. Hey,
there we go. Hey. Another dad joke.
He said something about Benny Ashley Seal as well, didn't he?
Yep.
In passing, that he's not been training well enough or something like that, didn't he? And that's why he won in the team.
He's not been playing well enough when he has played either.
Well, but that's another thing that Cole would have just been like bashing away with some other comment, wouldn't it?
He would have said, so, yeah, you know, it's just a decision. It's not.
Everyone's going to get rotated.
But do you not think that's... I mean, there are two ways to handle the decision. To handle that, isn't there? There's the Keith Curl way, which is to basically, you know, put the question to one side and just talk inane rubbish for about 2 minutes. Or there's John Brady, who clearly speaks his mind. I mean, there are people that will turn around and say, don't call your players out in public. Deal with it in-house and protect them in public. I mean, it does seem to be quite a big juxtaposition between the two managers that we've had.
Yeah, but I think there's an element. I think there's an element, isn't there, of, you know, don't call your players out. And I think by saying he's not been training hard enough, you'd take on face value that he's probably had that conversation with Ashley Seale already. Mm. So it's a difficult one. You kind of have to trust sometimes, I think, that managers know how to manage their players and that sort of thing and stuff. I don't know. I don't have much time for Benny Ashley Seale anyway, so I'm happy if he gets called out.
It's a completely other conversation, but I'm really disappointed because, you know, I kind of thought to myself, here's a player that we've bought young. You know, this could be a really good, and he's a striker. This could be really, really good. And it's just been the complete opposite of that, hasn't it? And you now sort of go, oh, that's why Wolves were happy to sell us him. You know, that's the more probably reality of it, isn't it? Is that we were able to afford to buy him because Wolves just didn't rate him. And it was probably, they were probably like, oh, great. Anyway, let's get some predictions for Saturday's game. We'll start with you, Jeffy. What do you think? Do you think we'll manage a win?
We're going to win 5-0.
Oh, hello. Have you changed your name to Neil?
And Hoskins is going to get a hat trick.
Oh, my word. Somebody check her temperature. Delusional. Danny?
6-0, Charles.
6-0. Yeah. Love it.
Simply because we...
Sam, you know, Hoskins, double hat trick.
Yeah. Oh, we've got to do butter sometimes, so...
Go on, Danny.
Still going to just spread over this game. And that'll be it. That's all I've got.
Lovely. Okay. Lovely.
Thank God.
I'm going to go 0-0.
Come on, 7-0. Do we see a 7?
Neil, do we see a 7?
Come on.
We'll see a 7, but it'll Sneak be us there. Us getting the 7-game record for not scoring. Hey. So I'll go 3-0 to the opposition.
Oh, no. Oh, that's not good, is it?
Hey.
Oh, well.
Take confidence in that I don't think I've ever made a correct prediction, so.
That is true. That is very true, yeah. Although you did get a postponed, right, didn't you?
Yep. Yeah, I did. Yeah. Proud of that
one.
You
also got one wrong.
Yeah, true.
Spoon, yeah, so, right, by looking out the window.
Yeah. Snowing.
Absolutely loved it. Anyway, that's it. Thanks very much for listening to this extended edition of the preview show. I know we've not really previewed the match, but we've talked cobblers for a good 50-odd minutes. So thank you very much for joining us. Thank you very much to all of our listeners, all of our Patreon supporters. If you'd like to support the podcast in any way, shape or form, the best way is obviously to listen to us. The next best way is to tell a friend about the podcast and ask them to go and listen. And then hit the subscribe button. And if you're on Apple Podcasts listening, do go and leave us a nice 5-star review. That'd be lovely. And if you want to go even further, like some lovely people, Peter French, for example, he's increased his pledge this week, which is lovely. Thank you very much for that, Peter. Loads of other people as well have joined the Patreon this month, patreon.com/cobblers2me. You can join our Slack channel community and you'll get access to loads of bonus content, including on this Sunday. What is it, Danny?
It's the quiz. Oh, it's the new monthly quiz. This is why so many people are upping their pledges, Charles.
Do you think they all want to play the quiz?
They want to just tune in to see me fall flat on my face by getting the questions wrong again. yeah, the first of many monthly quizzes, let's hope. It's going to be live on Zoom, Charles, I believe.
Live on the Zooms. Yeah, that's it. It's going to be really, really good. But for now, thank you very much for listening. Come on, cobblers. Let's go and get that win, shall we?
Shout out to the Butter fans.
Way! There's the cup! There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on because we deserve it.
Watto.
Speaking of which, have you lot tried prawn cocktail quavers? Because they are incred.
Mate, I had, just before the pod started, I had some salt and vinegar quavers.
Oh, they're so good.
Did you put butter on it?
Don't start. Don't start.
Oh, God.
Don't you dare.
Get out.